Okay, everybody, say it. One of the great admirers of Ramchal was a Gadol HaDor in his own right. Actually, we were in Ferrara in Italy, trying to find the Beis HaChaim, the old cave of Rabbi Yitzchak Lampruntzi, the Pachad Yitzchak, who was a renowned physician from the University of Padua, which is not uncommon at all, that the Italian Gadol Yisrael, many of them were exceptional physicians as well, renowned. And at the same time, a great Rosh Yeshivas in Mabitsa Torah wrote the famous forum, multi-volumed, single-handedly encyclopedic work called the Pachad Yitzchak. Some like 10, 11 volumes or so. Rav Yitzchak Lampruntzi himself was someone who actually related that he once had visited Ramchal. And he says, Be'einov Roh, with his own eyes, I saw that he was sitting and writing. And he was writing Secrets of Kabbalah, writes Rav Yitzchak Lampruntzi, Keherifayin, he says, in the blink of an eye, he actually finished writing a whole page, which means it was superhumanly impossible to be able, he says, to write, he says, an entire page, literally, he says, it took a second. Masha'ein boss of Adam yochel lasaris, that no boss of Adam was able to do such a thing, imloy b'siyati d'shmai v'derech nes. But this is something that he said that he saw with his own eyes. And you realize, they say, he was a person, a man of science at the same time, and a God will be your soul, and you couldn't like pull the wool over his eyes. And this is what he said. It was this incredible thing that he saw. Another thing we should just mention is there was a Choshev Rav, I'm putting it in quotations, I'll tell you why, because at the time he was a Choshev Rav by the name of Nechemiah Cohen. Nechemiah Cohen, there's quite a few number of Nechemiah Cohens. Nechemiah Cohen, it's incredible to believe, he converted and became a Muslim. Choshev Rav. Choshev Rav. Well, it was a Choshev Rav. And Nechemiah Cohen, when he was still known as Harav HaGoyen Nechemiah Cohen, very highly respected, was once in Padua, and it was around Kabbalah Shabbos time, and he had a very strong interest that he wants to visit Ramchal. So in order to go to Ramchal, so he mentions to the Talmidim of Ramchal, the students, that they should introduce him. And one of the greatest Talmidim was the Biankiv Chazak. Biankiv Chazak, you have to realize, was the Talmud of Ramchal, that the Chidor writes about him, that he was a Moifes Ador, he was the wonder of the generation. And the Chidor also writes, Shemati Olav Shlero Akeri Mielam. This person never became Tomei. Unbelievable things he writes about. There's a Biankiv Chazak. Biankiv Chazak was a Talmud of Ramchal. So this, Nechemiah Cohen, he took the assistance of Yankov Chazak, and also the Moshe David Valley, the Ramat Valley also, this happened to be this cable we did not find, but upon Ramat Valley, that they should introduce him to Ramchal. So he went, and he got to Ramchal, and they said that this Harav Nechemiah Cohen, who was very well known, Harav Nechemiah Cohen would like to meet you. And when they mentioned that he wants to meet him, so Ramchal said, Chaz v'sholem al yovoi. Ramchal should not come because there's no hope anymore for his neshama. Now this was the time that this person was 100% the Cheskis Kashrus. There was no inkling at all that this person intends to will ever convert and become a Muslim. At that time he was still known as a Choshev Rav and a well-known Rav, Nechemiah Cohen, Harav Nechemiah Cohen. And the mail, but here again, just to show how Ramchal was able to tap into the Sherish neshama of a person and to be able just with a look or even somehow by mentioning the name, we'd be able clearly to discern so the personality of a person. And this you have to realize that Ramchal's part was going out on a limb, because furthest thing from anybody's imagination that this would happen, and that, again, this is far before this person there was any simonim or any signs that he's actually going off the derech. Yet Ramchal already was magish and had that hagoshim. We actually left off last week, mentioned where Ramchal He had made up his mind that he sees that the tsaras are overwhelming. He says he's not going to manage it over here. And therefore the best thing for him to do, he says, is to leave Paddle, to leave Italy. And therefore his chesed was ultimately to go to Eretz Yisrael. But to do that, you don't just go like today, you just, you know, get on a plane, go to Eretz Yisrael. What he does, he's settling in Amsterdam. But before that, one last visit, he has to go to Venice. We mentioned last week, he had such a situation that had to be Mesadir in Venice. And when they heard about the Rabbonim of Venice, where he said his fiercest opponents, Rabbonim of Venice, when they heard that Ramchal was there, so he sent three shlichim of Rabbonim here to try again, to try to trap him, and to try to insist that he signs a new document with more commitments, and so on and so forth. Ramchal understood, of course, what they were up to, so he said to them, not only am I going to sign, but he said, I'm not even going to listen to what you want me to sign. I'm not interested even in reading what the document has to say, because he was worried, being that there's three there, should he even listen, they may say that we warned him with the koich of a bezdin, and he violated whatever we warned him. So they said, I'm not even want to listen to what you have to say. And this is the first time that we spoke out sort of like chutzpahdik, because in the letters that we have, many, many letters, some printed, Igreis Ramchal, you see, he wrote with tremendous respect to all those that opposed him, with tremendous respect when he wrote to them. But this time he really spoke out against him, said, I'm not Meshubat you, you have no jurisdiction over me, I'm not a resident of Venice, I'm from Padua, and if I have no chiyuv at all, I don't have to answer to you. This is the way he said to them. He said, the only one I have to answer is to my Rebbe. He says, Rabbi Shaya Basan, who was one of the Gedolei Hador at the time, to him I have to answer. And as soon as he comes back to Padua, Ramchal right away writes a letter to his Rebbe, because he knew that his Rebbe is going to hear about it from them, and they're going to misconstrue the whole story, they're going to distort the whole story, they're going to basically fill in and create a totally new different scenario, and they're going to make up again fabrications against him. So therefore he wanted to set the record straight before any information comes from the outside, and he writes a letter to his Rebbe, and Chachave, Mamish, Kamat, just as soon as his Rebbe receives the letter from Ramchal, and what it states there, the Rabbonim of Venice actually wrote a letter, and the letter clearly was filled with all kinds of fabrications, and they, regarding Ramchal's visit in Venice, totally completely different than the narration that with Ramchal, according to the way Ramchal related it. And actually, there's on record, maybe one day we'll give some copies to the other. I happen to have some copies, because some of the copies of what went on is, by the way, Rabbi Yankov Emden himself. He brings and records a lot of this. And the zilzal, the shikorim, and the low language that he used against him, mamishka, if he'd be a person from the street, literally, Ela, you know, you're not a machabed person, but literally they were mezalzal in him with all types of zilzulim and all types of shikorim. Mamish like Kecher Arekim, could be an empty person. And the main thing that he tried to prove is that he violated his shvua. He violated his shvua, his commitment that he's not going to study Kabbalah in public, and all the things that they originally made him sign, and they're trying to show and to prove that he's violating that, and he's not holding up to it. So he goes, the Rav Shai Basan, when he received the letter from the Rabbonim of Venice, because he was in Venice, he was very upset, because he knew it's not true, because he knew his Talmud, he knew the Ramchal better than anybody. Ramchal did not violate any shuras, and he realized they were all fabrications. Yeah, literally, they were lies against him. So he goes and he writes, Rav Shai Basan writes a letter to Rabbon of Venice, and says to them, he says, there's no truth, I don't accept anything what you're saying. And now they give the Musar, and he's very upset, and on record we have the text of all those letters that Rav Shai Basan responded to Rabbon of Venice, defending the Ramchal. And right after that, again, the Ramchal writes again to his Rebbe another time and says he has tremendous tsar and tremendous pain. He says of all the situation that is going on. And in any case, he says to him, the Ramchal says that what they wanted from him is the new letter to sign. Forget about the original commitment. Okay, he's not going to publish Kabbalah, he's not going to teach it. If you want to close yeshiva at all on any level, not teaching at all, closing his yeshiva. Also, he should not have right to publish any sefer on any topic unless he receives the haskama from them. That was the second letter that they wanted him to sign. And as I mentioned, he didn't even want to hear what the letter says, and obviously he did not sign that, and so on. But of course, obviously, this was a very, very painful situation. Ramchal writes to his Rebbe, interesting thing. He said, just today, he says, I received a letter, he says, from a very prestigious goy, a very highly prestigious goy, someone who is highly a person in high office, somebody who has a lot of influence, happened to be a judge in Venice. He's a guy in the courts of Venice, a judge. And he writes to Ramchal, please do me a favor and write me a clear explanation of why the teaching or the study of Kabbalah has truth in it. Why does he care? He says, because he has a debate with one of the other Chachomim, Chachmi HaGoyim. Interesting thing that Goyim debated the idea of whether Kabbalah is something of substance or not. So Ramchal, and we have the letter, again we have the text, where he's writing to his Rebbe, telling his Rebbe, I receive a letter from this Goy, a Chacham, very intelligent Goy, and he's asking me that I should, because Ramchal's reputation preceded him, that he was one of the greatest Mekubalim along. So who's best to try to prove that the study of Kabbalah and the essence of Kabbalah? So he writes to his Rebbe, I received this from this Goy, and he says a very interesting thing. He says that this Goy, the Goy, the judge writes, the reason I want you to defend Kabbalah, because the other Chochem with whom I'm debating is using as a raya against Kabbalah, the person that we mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda Ari of Medina. Ari of Medina, again, one of the great Rabbanu of Venice, that's before this time, go back in the 1600s, which cave we did find after a 20-minute boat ride over there. During that parade, that couldn't stay there long enough. In any case, so with Ari of Medina, remember he wrote a whole sefer Ari Noyim, the lion roars. His name is Ari, the lion roars. Clearly, trying to destroy anything of Kabbalah. It's Havel Havolim, it's Ein Mamish, and so on and so forth. And remember, Ramchal wrote a sefer called Mamah Havikuach to defend Kabbalah, which his Rebbe first said, I'm not going to give you a skoma because this is only going to stir up the coals again. Why? Because you are now opposing one of the great rabbis of Venice going back in the 1600s. This is going to make matters even worse. But Ramchal says, I can't help it. He said, whatever this is, I'm ready. He says, I'm really ready to take all the abuses that this may cause, because he said, anything, he says, I can't allow, he says, that the study of Kabbalah to remain. He said, in such a situation of not to be understood, and to have this belief that Rabbi Yehuda Arya of Medina had advanced, that there's nothing to it, there's nothing, it's Snarishkeiten, and I have to show it, I have to defend it, and so on. Then he says another thing, that when I was in Venice, at that time, when he visited Venice, and again, when the Rabbonim of Venice sent three shlichim to him, at that particular time, he meets a woman, a high-ranking woman, some sort of a duchess or something, who happened to be a very, very intellectual woman, and she studied Kabbalah. In her own way. She studied Kabbalah in her own way. And therefore, she goes and she asks him various questions regarding Kabbalah. And Ramchal writes, he says, yes, so it's a goy, but he answered her as best he was able to answer as much as a shaykh to a goy. And in any case, so Ramchal says, it's very important that I publish my sefer to defend Kabbalah against the Rabbi Arya of Medina. And again, we have all these letters of exchange that Ramchal is writing to his Rebbe. We all have it. We have the text of it. Maybe one day we'll go through some of the letters. And now he tells his Rebbe his plans that he's going to go to, he plans to move to Amsterdam. Finally he tells him, I plan to move to Amsterdam because I see I have no koyach anymore to stay over here. I don't see that any shalom ever is going to come about it here. It's going to be continuous machlokes for the rest of my life. I can't remain in Italy. Therefore, I will go to Amsterdam. However, he went, first of all, only by himself. His wife and his child had one son he had, remains in Padua. His parents, his father, everybody, he left everybody. You can imagine that he leaves with a very heavy heart. He leaves alone, leaving everybody in his family, leaving behind, still remaining in Padua. And in addition to that, what added and compounded the pain was that he's leaving his Talmidim, his great Talmidim of the yeshiva. So Ramchal, before he left, he departed. He said to him, listen, he said, I'm always going to be with you. I'm never going to forget you. I'm always going to remember you. And he says, I will continue to write to you and to be in communication, to know exactly how you're doing, how you're progressing, how the yeshiva is working out, how the Talmidim are growing in Torah and Yerushalayim and so on and so forth. And he was mechazik them to see that not, to make sure that yeshiva continues, with him or without him. In fact, he's not going to be there. And that was basically, this was what Ramchal let his Rebbe know, that he's leaving in Kachave, that he goes, he leaves Padua with the Kavana to arrive to Amsterdam, and before he manages to leave to Amsterdam, the word got out. So again, the enemies again, some of the Rabbanim of Venice, quite a lot of Rabbanim of Venice were at the time. There was not one particular Rabb at that particular time. So Rabbanim of Venice is the Bnei Yeshiva. But again, Bnei Yeshiva doesn't mean sitting Sastam. All the Bnei Yeshiva, the Rabbanim were called Bnei Yeshiva because they basically they sat and they learned together. But they were not Stam Bnei Yeshiva. They were great Rabbanim. So they heard about it, he plans to leave, said, oh, this is a liar. Because Amsterdam is also a place of publishing. Venice, we know, is a famous place of publishing. Amsterdam also was a place in that time of publishing Hebrew books. They said, oh, but he's going to this because he now wants to find some sort of a safe haven to be able to publish that which he committed himself not to publish. So they made it up that that's the reason that he's going to Amsterdam, which of course was not true at all. He's going to Amsterdam simply to get away from the heat of the fire. That's where he wants to go. So in any case, so this is again sort of like to stoke the coals. And the Rav Moshe Chagiz, as you know, he was one of the biggest, or the one who really wrote all of the letters against Ramchal, stirring up all of Europe. He was the one, I guess, single-handedly the most influential of getting the Rabbanim of Germany against Ramchal. Germany, Italy, whatever. But he, with all his letter writing, Rav Moshe Chagiz, he went and basically stormed the world. He turned into a frenzy, actually, when he heard it. It's going to Amsterdam. That's clear because he wants to publish things that he's not supposed to be publishing, so on Kabbalah and so on and so forth. And again, he was Matzliach, as we said. He was Matzliach in a sense to get the Rabbanim of Germany to side with him. And Rabbanim of Germany each wrote letters, one to the other. In other words, that we have to put Ramchal actually sort of like in Cherem and so on and so forth. And literally Europe at the time turned into a fiery inferno regarding this parasha. So again, so it did not die down as yet, and Bez Hashem, to be continued further what happened at that particular point. So we'll go now to the Derech Hashem, Rabbi Yisai. Sort of like where we left off last week, it's in your edition, it's Daf Mem Gimel, take a look. Daf Mem Gimel, in the Derech Hashem, it's the second line from the top. The second line at the top, actually at the end of the second line. Hinei Muchrach. You have it, Daf Mem Gimel. Okay, Daf Mem Gimel. About the second line from the top. Middle of the second line. Sort of like by the end of the second line, Daf Mem Gimel. Ramchal starts out in basically what he mentioned we had the previous year, that the neshama coming down to this world finds itself, as it were, sort of like imprisoned, because the body, which is totally physical, is completely direct opposite of what the neshama is made up of. Neshama is purely kedusha, is purely holy, comes from the Olam Elyon, comes from the upper world, comes from underneath the throne of glory from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKovet, and now it comes down to this lowly world, to this Olam HaShofel, and it's placed into this physical goof. So the neshama tries to pull in one direction, and the goof pulls in the other direction. Meantime, the neshama is confined, yes, or maybe yes, to use the lashon, yes, it's imprisoned in the goof. And as Ramchal points out, for the neshama's sake, from her perspective, from the neshama's perspective, this is a world of darkness. So the neshama therefore tries as much as possible to influence the goof, to try to purify the goof, to bring light into this atmosphere of darkness. So he goes on to say as follows. He said, neshama has no choice. She finds herself in a world of darkness, the goof, namely the goof and the world at large. So the neshama, therefore, is forced, it's essential, hinei muchrach. Therefore, it's very important, it's shetishtadl ha-neshama v'tischazek. It's very important that the neshama actually uses extra effort, tischazek, and strengthen itself. In what way? The neshama should try to overpower the goof, meaning to try to sort of lessen the physicality of the body. The neshama should actually exert itself to try to weaken the power of the darkness, the choshech of achumrius, of the physicality. So in other words, so by the neshama exerting effort, then it's able, as we say, it's able, now it's enmeshed in the physical body, as it were. So the neshama therefore has to exert effort, so it should not remain suppressed. The neshama has to exert effort not to remain suppressed by the physical needs of the body, which is totally in contrast to what the neshama needs and what the neshama is looking for. So the neshama has to exert pressure and force. Achi yishor beguf bilti choshech. So the body remains, right, free of any darkness. That's where he is. That's the avodah of the neshama. Not always successful. Not always successful. But that is what the neshama's tafkid now is to try to do. And if the neshama is successful, and if the neshama is successful, the question is quite simply, the soul, the neshama, is bound to the body. If the neshama is bound to the body, the neshama has to work to prepare the body also for its eternal reward. So, if the neshama is successful, so as yuchali saloisu ima, then the body will also be able to ascend together with the neshama, the leor boer elyon, and be filled with the spiritual light, with the upper spiritual light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol zman, when the body is totally committed to its physical needs and devoid of spirituality, then the body cannot experience the dveikas b'Hashem, cannot experience being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you need that for the neshama to shine light into the darkness of the guf, to allow the guf also to elevate, le'isalois, that the guf also becomes elevated together with the neshama, the leor, and to be filled with the oir elyon, with the upper light. So now, tachas, which this will be instead of the present situation, tachas masha hoisehi mischasheshes v'nishpeles ima b'tchile, instead of the neshama being darkened and lowered together with the bodies that was at the outset. In other words, when the neshama, at the time when the neshama, at the outset, when the neshama goes into the body, at that time, the neshama becomes affected. The neshama becomes adversely affected because it's entangled in the body. That's at the outset. But the neshama, through the constant effort, through the constant work of the neshama, and that is, what's the effort? The effort is that the spiritual life of a person, that should be the primary need of a person. If the neshama, through her efforts, giving the primary needs to the neshama, then the situation can be reversed. Instead of the neshama being bottled to the guf, then the guf becomes bottled to the neshama. The guf becomes, the body becomes a vehicle to be able, right, to serve the neshama, instead of the opposite, with the neshama, which is the breath of life, allows the body to do whatever the body wants to do. But the question is always, does the guf become bottled to the neshama, which is the primary force, the dominant force in a person's life? That's the avodah of the neshama. To try to see that the neshama becomes the dominant force, and therefore brings in light into the darkness that the body, so to speak, is filled without the ruchnias of the neshama. However, he said, it's not an easy task, far from it. Ramchal says, "Ulam ha'odom bo'ilam hazeh." However, man while he's in this world, who b'matziv echod sha'choymer chozak boy k'moshe zechanu, man in this world finds himself in a situation where the physical drive strongly affects him, as we mentioned already, as we had in the previous year. That's a matter of fact, Ramchal. That's where we started this section, this parak. He started and showed that the fact of the matter is that the power and the drive of the physical chayrik of a person is very, very strong and very overpowering. And therefore, he says, as a matter of fact, ubihiyos hachoyme, being that the physical part of the person, ochur v'choshuch, it's obscure and it's darkened. So it means that a person finds himself in a state of darkness. Nimso ha'odom b'choshuch godol. A person finds himself in a matzav, in a state of great darkness. Quite simply, the person actually, what is he? He's basically, he's a composite of a body and a soul. That's, he's made of two elements. So being that the person basically is a composite of a body and soul, so now he's in a state of darkness. Why? Because his primary manifestation in the world is the dark physical body. That's how it is at his outset. And the soul and the neshama is entangled. So the brachot moed, and therefore at this juncture, the man finds himself quite far removed from where he should be, Mimasha Royal Oshiyah, from where he should be. And that is, Liyaz Mizdabik Boyez Borach Shemoy, to be able to be in a state of Dveikas with Hashem, to be in a state. Because the point is like this, a person cannot really attain Dveikas, to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, as long, he says, as the neshama is not capable of purifying the body. If the body is not in a state of purity, then there's a distance. And therefore, So as a result of all this, Sorech Shiyosem Yishtav Lusoy, that's the place where a person has to place his efforts. Lechadei Ges Nishmosoy, even though it appears that the dominant force is his physical drive, right, that's what it appears, that the, and it's very strong, but that's the effort, that's the avoid of a person, to seek to strengthen the Nishama against the power of the physical. Lechadei Ges Nishmosoy Neged Koyech Chomroy, to seek to be mechazik, to strengthen his Nishama against the power of the physical component, will ahead to this matzavoy, and thereby improve his situation. To improve his situation, and that is lahalos atzmoi. This will allow him to elevate himself, ilui, right? Allow him to bring himself up to a high level ad hashir haroyloi, to the degree that is appropriate for him. So the point is quite simply. So here, as we say at this juncture, Ramchal is telling us the person, of course, the physical body is very strong, and therefore there's a very strong drive, and the neshama has quite a job. The neshama has quite a job to try to become the dominant force in a person's life. That is the avodas adam. Now, if you see here in Gimel, Ramchal comes to say, but don't despair. You realize that as much as it is true that there is a very strong physical drive that a person has, right, that's the physical nature of a person, but nevertheless a person is able to change, as we'll see, his constitution of his physical, right, of his physical genetic makeup, as he goes on to point out. Because first of all, before he comes to say that, Ramchal pointed out what man's challenges are twofold. A, his body is physical, right? Second of all, the location, that is the world around him. The whole world is a world which is a world of the physical. It's all material. So therefore, man's nishama is sort of like his outnumbered in a sense. It finds himself imprisoned in a physical body, and also in a world that is a world of physicality. So here he talks about now about the mokim, the location, the place, the world, the environment. Also the place, besides the bodies, we said, for the nishama is being in a dark. The lights are out. For the neshama, the lights are out, being placed into the goof. But not only this inside the goof, but also the environment. The place where man exists, gamhu chomri v'choshuch. That is also physical. And it's also physical, and it is dark. And physical dark. And the cholan imsoim boy, sheboy chomri. And everything that exists in the world is basically physical nature. It's all contrary to what the neshama is used to, what the neshama comes from. It's all against what the neshama needs. Not only that, man's occupation is physical. Everything, in order to exist in a world, he has a physical body. So his occupation invariably is also going to be with everything that deals with physicality. His occupation in this world, boy in this world, with a lawyer, and all that's filled, it's not possible without being connected with physical. It's everything, it's material, it's physical occupation. Why? Because kim shikulam chomri and vegufniim. Because all of the phenomena of this world is material and it's physical. So it means to say that a person's daily activities in this world is limited to physical actions, because all of his surroundings is a physical nature. Utchinoso shorodon, and also its constitution of what is made up, right? Vakovas chalokov, right? And the composition of all the parts. All the parts that a man has made up force him to be involved in physical aspects. You have to eat and drink, at least. They force him into this occupation of being involved. Of being involved, he says, in a world of physicality. So in other words, besides the person's surroundings, the fact that he has a physical body forces him to be preoccupied with physical pursuits. And that's the second reason why people spend their day involved in physical activities. Not because of the world around them, but the constitution of a person as a physical body. So there's two reasons why a person is forced to be involved, of course, with physical pursuits. It's impossible for a person to exist without eating, drinking, and all of the other natural, like physical aspects. The yefshir also, yefshir is impossible without having basic needs. You have to have some sort of wealth, some level of wealth. The Yepshua may be Hoyin Vikinyan. It's not possible to exist without some level of wealth and acquisitions in order to be able to survive in this world. Because the needs that a person needs, you need money to be able to acquire the needs So he's able to obtain the needs that the world requires him to need. So, of course, and now he has to be involved. He has to be involved in the occupation of the world, the aspect of the world which is the physical world. So now the Ramchal sums up the various aspects of the state of man with which he began. So man, basically, there are two aspects that on the one hand force him to be involved with the physical. The nimsa. So it comes out as a consequence. So the nimsa is a consequence. Shebei mitzad gufo shel adam. Bei mitzad olomoy. Two aspects. From the perspective of the human body. From the perspective of the environment. And also from the perspective of his occupation, right? From all of these perspectives, it comes out that his pashut is drowning in physicality. He's drowning in physicality, and simply he is mixed in, or he is mired in this darkness. So there are three areas of the physical. There are three areas of the physical. The person, physical body. Then you have his surroundings, the environment. And then the activities. So obviously, these three aspects make it very difficult for a person to rise above the physical world. And therefore he says, V'omol godol. There's a great amount of work and effort, v'shtavlus chazoke. Right? Strong effort has to be placed. Strong effort, yitzarach loy, will be needed by a man in this world, at least always, to be able to, right, to transcend that, to ascend, to rise above that. El matzav zeh mizeh, to be able to ascend to a pure matzav than the current one. And yet, on the other hand, we find himself forced by its very nature. So it comes out, as we say, it seems to be quite a job, quite an avoider that a person has in this world. Here is kulay physical, must have many aspects, his surroundings, the person, his activities. And yet, what do we expect? What do we expect him to try to override that, to try to ascend that? Comes now Ramchal and he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you the ability now to change and to be able, even though you're living with all these, as we said, with all these handicaps against your neshama. The neshama is quite handicapped. Three areas of being involved with the physical. However, he says, even though on the surface it would not seem possible, on the surface, it would not seem possible for a person to succeed in attaining perfection, Ramchal goes on to explain how it is achievable to achieve perfection even under such difficult conditions. And now he goes to explain. Vulam, however, Me'oimek Atzas Chochmoso Yizbarach Shemaroyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is profound wisdom. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he put us in this world. He gave us a neshama. Right, with all the difficulties that we perceive, with all the challenges, Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore, he gave us a Torah. He gave us a Torah. V'stadir hadvorim ba'oifim. Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged things in a way. Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged things in a way for us. She'af bihiyoyso odom. Yes. Even though on the one hand, man, right, is shekua b'choymer. He's forced to be mixed right into physicality. Behechrich, as we said, k'moshu kasavnu, as we pointed out just a moment ago. Nevertheless, HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave a way that yuchal, right? That Yuchal, he's able, in other words, not to deprive oneself of physicality, but utilize everything physical and use it for Avodas Hashem. This is what Ramchal is saying. Kodesh Baruch Hu, yes, he put you in a physical world, and using, so the physical world is not going to be a negative, but the physical world, if you do it and you use it right, it's going to turn out into a tremendous positive. Again, Yuchal mitrach achoymer atzmoy, utilizing this physical world for Esek HaGufni, and yes, using the bodily occupation, the physical occupation, through them, through these things themselves, through the physical world and the bodily occupation, his hasik is ashleimus. He's able to attain perfection. In other words, this clearly is unlike the belief of, you know, that you have in many nations. The belief of many nations is that to achieve holiness, whatever they perceive as holiness, but that's the belief of many nations, a person has to completely withdraw from the physical world and he has to live a life of an ascetic. Chaim Friedlander, also wrote a pirush on the Derech Hashem. Ramchal we're learning, and he makes that point. That clearly, this word Ramchal translates it says that Hashkofe of Yahadus totally rejects this notion that to achieve holiness that means that a person has to completely withdraw from the physical world. Adrabah, to achieve holiness, he says, in the way of of a Yid. And what we were put on this world as our mission is to take Davke, to utilize everything that's in this world, and to be able to connect it and to commit it and to bring out a Klal Shamayim where it becomes all elevated. As he goes on to say, the his alus, to be able to elevate the physical, El Hazoch, to purify, El Hamayla, right? And to loftiness. So Ramchal said, a person should never feel that the physical world prevents him from reaching perfection. Adrabah, see, he's the word Adrabah, on the contrary. Don't view that the physical world prevents you from achieving perfection. Adrabah, hashpelosoi tiyahagbosoi. His very lowliness, that he has the physical group, right? He has the same lust as all animals, right? He has the same beastly lust. But that lowliness will be the source of his elevation. That lowliness will be the source of elevation. Which means that the person's involvement, the person's involvement with the physical world will actually elevate him. Even though, right, the risk is, of course, that the physicality generally, as we see, drags the person down, as Ramchal said before. But again, Chaim Friedlander points out that this is the concept, by the way, that even Malachim didn't understand. If you might remember when the Gemara talking Shabbos, that the Ches, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to Shemayim, right, and the Malachim asks the question, Ma liyudisha benenu, what is a human being? A human being means someone that's born from a woman, meaning human being. What is he doing here in Shemayim? And the answer came because Baruch Hu said, "Lekabel satoyva." He came to be a mekabel the Torah. And the Malachim said, "This lowly human being, this person, this yesahara, this person who lost, this person, this physical person, this material person, this person who's offered an adama, dust of earth. What is he? He's nothing. He's nothing. He's capable of receiving the Torah." Rav Chaim Friedlander points out this: the Choman, the Malachim, did not even understand the concept that physical actions could lead to Ruchnius, that physical actions could lead to spirituality. Why? Because Malachim are Kulei Kodesh. Malachim are totally pure through and through, and they have no, right, they have nothing, no vestige of anything that is material within them. They're non-tangible, they're Kulei spiritual. They don't have a hasoge. They can't imagine, they cannot fathom that a person with a physical body should be able to use that physical body and to attain holiness. So here comes Ramchal and points and tells you that you don't make the same mistake. Don't make the same mistake that the Malachi made, that being that we are created of physical matter, that we have no ability to be able to elevate that into Ruchnius, Adrab, which is the opposite. The fact that you have a physical good and can be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that makes you even greater than Malachim. Because Malachim don't have that challenge. You have that challenge. So Adrabah, he says, Hashpalosoi again tihagbosoi. His very loneliness will be the source of his elevation. Umisham, and from that loneliness, means from that physical world, yikne yikor v'kovoi. He can now acquire tremendous honor and nobility, right? She'en komoi, that's unmatched, which means even Malachim. Even Malachim Shemayim never do an avere. Malachim only doing whatever they have to do. They always do the right thing. Nevertheless, a human being, when he's able to overcome and to utilize his physical, right, his physical drives, and he's able to channel them in the right direction and to control and to do it right, he's on a higher level than nothing in creation, this world, upper worlds, can match what a human being can reach. This is the statement. She'en komoyu, he says, this is an honor and a color that is unmatched, that no one. In other words, very clearly, the struggles, that itself, the struggle, yes, we have struggles, a lot of struggles, and we slip a lot, maybe more. But that should not deter a person. Sheva yipot tzadik v'kom, what the pasuk say. A tzadik might slip 7 times, but at the end he gets up. So it's not, you slip, you get up again. You slip, you get up again. That's the problem. Because we say to ourselves that we can't do it. And look how many times you've slipped, very good. But that's one of the aspects of the HR. Many times I have Bokhram, you know, to come to speak. And they have various issues. It's a difficult world out there. And they got involved and they were nichshol in certain situations. And therefore, he says to me, I feel like a hypocrite to put on tefillin the next morning. So I said, be a hypocrite, just put on tefillin the next morning. I said, but yeah, that's what Baruch Hu wants, you should put on tefillin. It is. Why? Because you had your challenge, you slipped. So you know what? Tonight, pick yourself up again. You're a human being, you had your thing, but now go further. Try to put it behind you. If you slip again, you'll slip again. But you know what? just pull yourself up again and just continue on. What the Yetzer Hara wants to say is, you're finished. You slipped, you did this and this, you have no more, you cannot be received. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to hear of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see you. That's exactly what the Yetzer Hara tries to implant. And many, many people really become influenced by that thought, because that's a natural thought. How can I, knowing what I know about myself, you say to yourself, so how can I now approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in me. He needs my Asher Yesh Vesecha, he needs my Shemini Esrei. What does he need it for? And that's the biggest mistake. And people are very vulnerable when it comes to these things. And that's actually what Ramchal is really saying. That the struggles that a person goes through at the end of the day, that will elevate him far more than if he were a malach that works only in the spiritual realm. So Dabki, because we are in this world with all of these struggles. Because now, if you succeed eventually, whenever that is, or to whatever level you succeed, you are now turning over darkness, you're turning it now into light. Darkness into light. You know, it's not just you can overcome darkness, but you can change it into light. It's one thing to say, you know, I'll manage in the dark. That's also madrege, to manage in the dark. Okay, let's manage in the dark. It's also, Machal says more than that. You're capable not just managing in the dark, you can turn darkness into light. See the lotion? The medayik in his words. And the shadow of death, you can transform it in a way that it shines brightly. So Meila, just could I just mention, sometimes we cross-reference, because Ramchal and one of his other sfarim is a sefer called Das Tfunos. And the sefer Das Tfunos, he mentioned in chapter 124, he mentions over there, actually, in Simon 124, he mentions that evil, he says, is negative only. Interesting concept. Ramchal says there, same Ramchal, he says that evil is negative only when you take it out of the context of the entire creation. But in context, even evil serves a purpose. The idea is, because the struggles that you have regarding evil, at the end of the day, that is what makes you great, and that allows you to transcend even the madrega that even the Ramalach is not capable of having. So everything has to be looked at in full context and in the full picture. Okay, boys, I will stop over here. I will take a look at the sheet here. So we have a few inyonim regarding what we are learning. First item is actually from Rav Gedal Yeshor, which is also in another sefer. This basically is in the Or Gedalia Parshas Azriah. However, it's written slightly different, so we took it from another sefer, who happened to say the exact same thing. And this sefer is called Teiris Maharim, Rav Yisroel Moshe Dushinsky. Now, the old Rav Yosef Dushinsky, who was the Malamokim of Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, he was a Rav Yerushalayim, and he was Nifter his, later on subsequently, Rav Yisroel Moshe, and now there's still a Dushinsky Rebbe in Yerushalayim, as you know that, who's a son of this Rav Yisroel Moshe. Anyway, but this, basically, they say, Gedal Yeshua says the same thing, and it's also in other Sfarim as well. It's a very interesting thing. Let's take a look here. It's a well-known Medrash, which come out, every Rav who says Torah, let's say, Pasha says Ria on the Medrash, will come across this Medrash and say a pshat from a sefer. There's literally hundreds of different perushim regarding this Medrash. Let's take a look at it. Talks about Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Lemar Ishika says Ria the older Zohar. Mom will give birth to a child. Fine. Okay. Point of the Medrash is like this. The Medrash connects a child is being born, Medrash and Vayikra. Hador Dachsev, this posik. A person comes into this world, the older Zohar, but it's not really connected to the older Zohar. A man, a woman is born in this world. So Chazal connect a pasuk in Tehillim. The Rav Melech says the following words. And very interesting, these are ambiguous words, because the Rav Melech says, Ochor v'kedem satoni. You have created me later and earlier. Now which is it? Am I later or am I earlier? Ochor v'kedem yisatoni. Satoni. Ochor means later. Kedem means earlier. So the Rav Melech says, you have created me later and earlier. Well, we can understand for one moment, you know, if you go chronological in order, man was the last to be created. Because man was created Yom HaShish and Erev Shabbos. Which means man was created after all the chayis and all the yefis and all the fish and everything was created. Right? Man was created at the end. So, on a simple level, man was created at the end, not earlier. The Rav Melech says, Ocher, I was created later. But he also says, Kedem. So, Omar Rish Lakish, listen to what Rish Lakish says. Ocher Zeho Achrim. Ocher is referring to the Yom Achrim, to the last day of creation. Kedem Zeho Morishin. So Rish Lakish says like this. Im Zocha Odom, if man lives his life righteously, if man is Zeche, if man lives his life righteously, We say to him, Ator kidamto l'chol ma'aseh b'reishis. You have preceded all of creation. In other words, well, how do we? He was created at the end of creation. But if you live your life righteously, then you have preceded. And we have to know what that means. Actually, he was not. He was created later. So some say Ator kidamto means you have the din kedima, means you are the most choshev. You are the most choshev. You are more important than everything in creation. In Zohar Odom, again, Oim Ramoy Ator kidamto. Vimlav, if a person does not behave properly, we say to him, who do you think you are? Even a little fly was created before you. Look how lowly you are. We say to him, Yitush Kodmoch. He said, even an ant or a gnat, he says, Shilsha, a little worm, was before you. In other words, man should not go to his head, because on one hand, he was created at the end. But if he's Zochem, he's a man behaves properly, then we say to him, Ato Kodamto. You really are ahead of everybody. You are as if you were created by Yom HaRishon. Now what does it mean? Let's understand. Mafarshim. Mafarshim raised the question. We know factually speaking, listen, there's no way to change that. Man was created at the end. That's the way it is. Man was created at the end. Sofik bidover, shetziroso shalom v'masa b'reishis, hoise b'yom ha'shishi. La'acha yisiris kol behem ha'chai v'roif. Dimkein, eich shayach loyma ato kedamta. How can you tell him, for any reason, ato kedamta l'chol ma'asa b'reishis? So he says, the Hegdimah, the Bargala, the Pume, the Kvoit Kedushas, Abba Mori, Zechatzadi, Vikosh of Rocha. He says, B'shem his father, B'yosef Sidushinsky. Now again, this essay, Kamat, every aspect is a Rigdal Yishor, but we're quoting it for this sefer because the print happens to be a little better and happens to be also written a little bit clearer. But he brings down from his father here, Rabbi B'yosef Sidushinsky on the Posik. The Yitzhak Hashem, Alekim, Sodom Hashem, right, formed man, Ofam in Adoma. He informed him dust from the earth, that Yipach Bapov Nishmas Chaim, and he blew in his nostrils in his shom of life, that he hold him lenefesh chayo. Okay? So look what happened. There's a body of him in Adoma. He has an ishoma. So now, you have an ishoma in a goof. What is this composition called? What is this combination called? You have a goof and you have an ishoma. You have a goof and you have an ishama, it's called a nefesh chayo. What does that mean? So he brings down Rav Dushinsky said, Ki odo murkev, a man, right, is composed of a combination of goof and ishama, ha noigdim zalaze. They're two opposite. In other words, they're two enemies. The goof and the ishama, the body and the ishama are strictly, they're misnagdim. They are two enemies. The goof noikariatsis, the goof wants earthly things. The goof is only interested in earthly things. Van ishama leruchnias. So what's the Avodah Zarah Adam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these two together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these two opposite forces together. Tafkid Shel Adam Hu, the Tafkid, the mission of man is, L'hafach es ha-choymer ha-gashmi shiboy, to take, right, the physical matter, and to convert it, to bring it as close to Ruchnis as possible. In other words, the goof should be bottled to the Neshama. That's the Avodah. The Avodah Zarah Adam to take this goof, and that the goof should serve the Neshama. The Shoma which is Zako Ubar, the Shoma which is pure and clear. There's there Shoma Akosav. Now read the Posik. You'll see exactly. The Posik is telling you the mission of man. Because the Posik is telling you, first of all, the ingredients of man. You see the ingredients of man, well, you see you have two. You see, you have a contradiction. You see, you have two opposite properties. So the Posik starts out and says like this. On the one hand, says the Posik, Akodesh Baruch Hu, Yosar, Sodom, Ofer, Min Adoma. And on the other side, in contrast, Notach Bapoi Nishmas Chaim. What's the loyma, the Nishoma, that's the Mekor Achius, right? The Nishoma, that's the source of life. So what's the purpose of this? A goof on the one hand, which goes in one direction, and the Nishoma. The purpose is, Vayhi Ho Odom, this Odom. Odom means when he's together already. Odom means with a goof and the Nishoma. Together is called Odom. The Tafkir of the Odom is, Lenefesh Chayo, that everything turns into Nefesh. Nefesh is Nishomadik, to see to take that offer min adoma and to turn that into nefesh dik, the nefesh chayo. It should be as if it's a living spiritual being. When you look at a person, you'll say, no, this is not an animal. This is a spiritual being, in spite of the fact that he has a physical shell. But the avodah zarah adam is to take that physical shell of the body is, that it becomes bottled to the neshama, subordinate to the neshama, and should serve the neshama, so now it becomes a nefesh chayo, a living spiritual being. Now, interesting thing is, from his Bible, Sfor Magdoshim, for example, the Kli Yoker says, you know, there's an opinion in Medrash that Tzadikim are not metame. Tzadikim, If they die, there's no tumah mes. You know, there's a big controversy. And therefore, the question is, if tzaddikim, can they go on the kever, can a kohen go on the kever of a tzaddik? Now, there's a big controversy. Many, many are machmer on that. But even those that are machmer, there are some, even those who are machmer, but they allow themselves to go to the kever of Shimon ben Yochai in Iran. Kohanim, not all, because they've constructed, if you know, they constructed especially a sort of like a bridge to be able. So Kohanim, those who are armakted, should not be actually going into the oil or overshadowing a caver, even if it's a Shimon Yochai. However, there are many, I'm talking about choshev people, they are Kohanim, I'm talking about even some rabbeim, some admirim, who happen to be Kohanim, and they have a heter, I mean, they go by a heter, their messiah, that like Miron of Shimon, which clearly was a tzaddik. See, anybody else, you don't really know 100% is a tzaddik, you know. I mean, only in Shemaim. But Shimon Yochai, we can all trust he's a tzaddik. So something like, or Kever Rochel even. Kever Rochel also. We have Kohanim, there are Kohanim that go to Kever Rochel. Why? Following the principle that Kivet Tzaddik Kemeni Matana. To point out, there's a place in Ksubis where Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says, he was a Kohen, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen. Chaim Kohen says, if I would be at the Levi of Rabbeinu Tam, I would be Metame myself to him. I would have gone to the Levi. That means to say, this is the Lashon. So here we have also a Shita, one of the Balotoises, referring to when you have a Godel be Yisrael, Rabbeinu Tam said, I would have gone even though I am a Kohen. So in any case, so the Kliyoka says, so and what's what, and he wants to explain, Kivet Tzaddikim Anat Mitamim. The Chen Omru, the Gemara Taka says in Yerushalmi, the Ois Ayom Shemes Rebbe, the day that Rebbe died, Botla Kohuna. Rebbe died because he was a Tzaddik, like there's no Tzaddik like him. The point is like this, the Nishama is always pure. When a person dies, what's the problem of Tumah? It's the body that's Tumah. Why is a Kohen allowed to go in a cemetery? Which part is impure? It's the body. The Neshama has left. The Neshama left. And what you left is the body. You left the body. The body itself is Tomei. But Tzaddikim, who they have transformed their goof, when they lived, they elevated their goof. They sanctified their goof. Their goof became Neshamadik. Their goof does not have any Tomei. That's the reason the Kliyoka says in Vayikra, Chofalos. He says, because Hanefesh Misarat Sma Toreva, for the Nishama Misarat Sma Yisrael, Vein Bashum Tzatume, Vrak HaGuf Hu Shemitame, Bishosh HaNishama Yoyt Seis Memeno. Oh, if it's only the body, depends whose body. Vachena Tzadikim, Asher Zichichu Es Gufam, Tzadikim that purified their body, the Madregis Nishama, their Guf also became Nishamadik, Eina Matam and Klawa. Okay, so now let's go, Rabbi said. Let's look here. Let it go. One thing's clear. Man was created at the end, after all the animals. You know what that means? His body was created at the end. His neshama was created before anything. The neshama comes from Shemayim. The neshama is Nishmas Chaim. The neshama of a person is a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, as we quote many times the Tanya. Chelik alikai mimal. The neshama is a shtik Rabbi Nishleilam. Every Yid has within himself a chelik of the Rebbeinu Shalom within him. You say a godly person, you say sometimes. It's like more literal than you think, yes. When a person is an Eloch Yid, is a godly person because a piece of Rebbeinu Shalom is in him. The Neshama's claw, which is mentioned, Neshama's created before Bria Shalom. The Neshama's were there years and years ahead before Bria Shalom. So the Neshama of a person, that was created way before anything. It's the body of the person that was created at the end. Question. When Kodesh Baruch Hu took these two components, put the Neshama and the body together, and now we have one, right? They fuse together. What do we have? Do we have the Neshama that's bottled to the goof? Or do we have a goof that's bottled to the Neshama? Says Rish Lakish, we say, David HaMelech says, Ocher v'kedem satoni. Depends on you. If you're Zoyche, if you utilize your body properly, meaning that you elevated your body, that your body became bottled to the Neshama, then you're ahead of everybody. Why are you ahead of everybody? Because the Neshama was ahead of everybody. Your body is bottled to the Neshama. So why are you ahead of everybody? So may you kedem. Then ato kidamto lochom asabreshis. But Vimlav, if he wasn't Zoyche means his Neshama is bottled to the goof. Instead of the goof being bottled to the Neshama, he's unfortunately, his life is the life of Gashem is the life is a physical life. Going by the body, then he's stuck at the end. That's what we say to him. That ochor, well, yitushkomach, even a little fly, even a little fly is ahead of you. 3 minutes, let me just mention something interesting, Rav Moshe. They used to come around here a few times. There's a well-known magid, is Rabbi Yankov Galinsky. He comes around from time to time. And I mentioned, we spoke to him once in Shalashudas also, by here, many years ago. And he started out, he spoke about, he said, how the world keeps falling. When you think that it hit rock bottom, you find out, no, it just keeps going lower and lower. You're always always surprised. Is it really? It can still go, yes, there's still room to fall lower and lower. So he said, there's no midas, there's no derecheres. So once you quoted him, he said like this, we're living in a world, he said, where all the midas are bottled. Except one midah. Midah connected midah is still here, because Baruch is going to... Whatever, however he says that you are behaving, all the midahs are bottled. It's not a chair, there's no midahs. But midah connected midah, that midah didn't come bottle. Because Baruch still has a cheshmo, what's going on. He said, now actually, he's from the school of Navadik. Dan Galitzky happens to be from the school of Navadik, which is, we know, a well-known cheder of Musar. And you know the difference between the Musar of Slobodka, the difference of the Musar of Slobodka and the Navadik, in Slobodka they emphasize godless hodom. The idea was always to show how great man is, to show the potential that man is. And that's a way of building up the koich of a person and to induce him to strive, to encourage him to strive, showing the godless hodom. If a person, in other words, Slobodka's shita was, if a person knew how great he was, he would never come to sin. How can you, if you're so great, right? If you realize how great you are, if a person really would understand that, would have the argosha, they wouldn't sin. So Slobodka would always emphasize the godless hodom. Navadik, they emphasize just the opposite. You know a little bit of Navadik? If a human being understood how insignificant he was compared to Hashem, he would never have the audacity to sin. Look how insignificant you are to Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can you sin? There's two opposite ways of looking at something to bring about the same result. That was the avodah of Navadik. The Navadik approach also was to do things to break a person's gaiva. To break a person's gaiva. To everything, that to work on a person to break his gaiva. For example, one of the things, it's a funny thing, but it's true. In Erel, how do you break your gaiva? Well, so in Erel, for example, Talmidim were told to us to go to a drugstore and ask for a pastrami sandwich. Guys, you're crazy, it's a pharmacy. Oh, I'm crazy, okay. That would break your gaiva. You see, somebody called me crazy. This is the way. For example, if you go into a restaurant and ask for a hammer, the guy at the cash register would say, are you out of your mind? It's a restaurant. What do you want a hammer for? Oh, he called me. I'm out of my mind. This is all things to break your code. The idea is just to break them down. Different approaches, different ways of trying to accept humility, to accept anivus and strife. And that was one of the Nevadic ways to work on midas. Anyway, so after Bar Mitzvah Bianca Galinsky, he comes to Nevadic. Come to Nevadic. This is she that his father sent him to. But Shvich took one look at him. By the way, he was little then, and he was still physically short. So he says to him, he said, if you have any chance of getting to the yeshiva, you have to first go down to the bar, he said, to a shul, and you have to start learning some musa. Now, you just can't come just right into the yeshiva over here. You have to have shikol abdomen. So since he said, there's a shul down the block over there. So he never knew the area. It's the first time he says there was in the area. So he leaves the yeshiva, and he goes and he sees the building that looked like a shul. So he goes inside, it was dark, and especially those days, very few places had electricity those days. So people learned by candlelight. So he walked into the large shul, and it seemed that nobody was there. The place was pitch black, except there was a younger man learning in a corner. There was a young man learning in the corner. He saw his back. He only saw his back, he didn't know who the person was. But there was a candle burning, which shed some light on the open sefer. And he was learning a Gemara in Erev and Daf and Dal Ramad Aleph. The Gemara in Erev and Daf and Dal says, Talmud Echad Oy Rab Lezer. It was a Talmud that Rab Lezer had, Shoy Yeshoy Nebalacha, she used to learn quietly. La'acha Gimel Shonim Shochach, Talmud, he forgot his learning. The Gemara there, the whole sugya tries to promote, when you learn, learn Bekoil. Say the words loudly. If you want, that's as good for remembering. If you learn, if you just read things with your eyes, it's not as good for remembering. Talmud Echot, he learned, but he learned Balachash, Shochach Talmud, he forgot his learning. In other words, you have to learn loud. So, matter of fact, it's a common knowledge thing. People say that, you know, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, if you heard of Rabbi Yashiv, learns the Kron Levocha, Rabbi Yashiv, people, whoever, they made CDs, by the way, now everything, people chop CDs, chopping him when he was learning. You hear that, this is the way he learned, basically the same regular voice, about 60, 70 years, he always learned vocally, as if he's learning the first time. As if he's learning the first time, he would say the words vocally. You know, it's not good enough to see the words, not good enough to see the words, but actually, you have to say them. You have to pronounce the words. Fine. So Yankov Galinsky sees and he hears this young man as he's learning, and he continues on. Then he comes to the next line. The Gemara says over there, Chatoy v'achol. You have to grab and to eat. Chatoi v'akoil. Chatoi v'ishte. Grab and drink. Why, says the Gemara, why do you have to grab? Ki hai alma bezalina meno. Because this world that you're going to be leaving is ki hiluladon, is like a wedding. What does the Gemara mean? The simple meaning is, when you go to a beautiful wedding, right? It's 5 and 6 hours, right? It appears to you for the moment that this is all that exists, but after 5 and 6 hours, it's all over. There's nothing left. Whatever you grab, that's what you have. This world is like a wedding. Whatever you grab, you're going to have, because you're not going to be here forever. So chatoi v'choil, make the most of every moment that you're in this world. Chatoi v'choil, chatoi v'choil. So Yankel Linsky hears how this young man was learning. He repeats the words over and over again. Chatoi v'choil, chatoi v'choil. And these words went straight into his neshama. Somehow it let him know. He says, make every moment count. So he goes back to yeshiva and goes back to mishgiach and says, Rabbi, he says, I heard what I had to hear. He said, I'm ready. Oh, well, Meister, he was accepted, the rest is history, but he knows he became a great Baal Musa and so on. As an aside, let me tell you, Rabbi Isai, you know who that younger man was singing the Gemara? Well, Bianca Galinsky was maspid this person, this younger man, turns out to be the godlord of the stipler. That was the stipler who was, as you know, learned in the Vardik, and he was the one, chatoi v'choil, chatoi v'choil, and in fact, that's the way he lived his life.